So, and with me, Joan Marie Moosey.
Hi, everybody.
We had a lot of events we were at the last few days, right?
Oh, my God. We've pretty been really busy. Yeah.
We'll have to talk about that later. But also joining us is Gilbert Baker.
Hey.
Back for the third or fourth time here.
I guess it would be the third or fourth.
Third or fourth time. And John Penley back from Mexico.
Zipolite.
Zipolite.
Gringo Loco.
Back to New York.
Back to New York. As they call him, El Gringo Loco.
El Gringo Loco.
And he brought with him some narco corridos that he picked up while he was down there. Well, you know, maybe some narcotics, too, but we don't know about that. Right?
No, I didn't bring any narcotics across the border.
Right. The aduanas.
The aduana.
Yeah. And he's clean.
Clean, but highly pissed off after being thrown around and shoved around by the New York City Police Department trying to take photos of the garden protesters today.
Civil disobedience.
Over 100 people arrested?
At least 100 people arrested. And I saw two press people have their get written tickets and had their press cards checked. So it was a war on the press as well as the protesters.
We saw a lot
today.
Of shoving going on.
An awful lot of shoving going on there.
They like to shove here. It's a big thing, shoving with the police, right?
They
shoving sticks, I heard.
They love shoving people with cameras in their faces when you're not looking. And they like to grab you by your backpack and start dragging you down the road,
ooh,
which set me off on them today.
You know why reporters wear their press passes with those little chain link, those little ball chain things that go around? It's because, and a reporter told me this, because once I had lost mine, so I just used a shoelace tie type of thing. And he said, "You're crazy, man." And I said, "Why?" Because the cops will pull on
they'll choke you with it.
They'll choke you with it, yeah. So I said, "Oh, yeah, you're right, man." I went out and got one. And because the ball chain ones, when you pull on them,
they break
apart, right?
Well, you know, I've been laying around naked on a beach smoking tons of pot every day, and now I'm back in New York trying to work again as a photojournalist, and it's driving me crazy.
Getting shoved around.
And Gilbert Baker, of course, is the author of the manuscript he's got before him called My Life as Betsy Ross. And for people who have been listening to this program, that's no mystery. But for those who are new, You might like to know that our guest, Gilbert Baker, is in fact the Betsy Ross of the gay and lesbian movement out in San Francisco.
That's right. We're going to have a big queer show tonight.
And right. And
Los Maricones in the house.
Yeah.
And what exactly, explain to people what it means to be the Betsy Ross of the gay and lesbian movement. You're an important guy.
Well, I know how to sew really well, so that's what it means. I made the rainbow flag, which is the symbol for the movement and has been used truthfully throughout history for thousands of years by many different liberation struggles. And in almost every culture, the rainbow has a sort of sexual magic to it. Some cultures believe that if you went under a rainbow that you would change sexes, right?
Wow. Back to the 25th anniversary of Stonewall, you were the guy behind that big mile-long rainbow flag.
Like I said, I know how to sew pretty damn good.
I would say so.
Moore's record, darling.
And I always, you know, we tell the story all the time, but for those who haven't heard it, it is a cute story. The purple lavender color in the rainbow flag. Tell us about Pansy.
We had to invent that color for the rainbow flag. In the world of flags, which we call vexillography, for all you listeners out there that might be aspiring vexillographers, in the world of flag making, we use bunting as the cloth from which all flags are made. And when we first started making rainbow flags back in the 70s, well, of course, it had to be natural fiber. We wouldn't touch nylon, you know, it was going to be cotton and, you know. And we, in short order, exhausted the entire supply of purple cotton bunting and had to switch to nylon. At that point, we concocted our own color, which we call pansy purple.
And it's now an official flag color.
It is an official flag color.
So it could be designed into other flags.
Purple is a rare color in flags. There are very few flags with it.
Well, I encourage people to incorporate purple into their flag.
In the lexicon,
the
flag lexicon, it's purple, pansy purple.
Pansy purple.
Pansy purple. It's actually a flag.
Use it.
And one day, some nation, whether it be Kosovo or Some new nation in Central Africa?
Next
or
new country. We want to see a pansy in your
Central class. America?
Well, you know, Greenlandia.
Actually, regrettably, we have a lot of discontinued countries on the shelf now, too, in the flag world. That's always a problem for vexillographers, is the discontinued countries and the constant change and shift of flags.
Well, I think that would keep them vexing the vexillographers because they would therefore have to come up with new designs. I mean,
well, yeah, we're all working on that 51st star for the American flag, mind you. Puerto Rico, come on down, because that would lend itself to a lot of new opportunities for design. 51, it would be fun.
Got to find a place to put it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, now they're the fact that they want to leave 300,000 students back in the New York City school system, very nasty, horrible, racist sort of move. Unfortunate that they would even propose such a horrible thing. As Eutrice Lee was saying,
up their own
how about if
for educational standards?
Why don't we just pull the license on 300,000 plumbers, like the 300,000 worst plumbers?
Lose their license.
Loses their license
automatically
right now, automatically. But it reminds me of the episode of The Simpsons I was watching the other day, where the school superintendent comes into the school to inspect, and while the whole school's total chaos, falling down, they're studying like from old books and everything. He's sitting there in front of the American flag, counting. 47, 48, 49, 50. Good to see your flags up to date.
Well, yeah, those 300,000 students, there must be at least, 300,000 cops here. It sure looked like that out there this weekend. And
right. There's so much that happened. You
know, I know, so many things to talk about.
Of course,
the Million Marijuana March.
The Million Marijuana March, which was pretty huge.
Enormous.
It was huge. It was huge. It was beyond.
There were so many people there.
We gave a conservative estimate. And believe me, you know, the marijuana marches tend to be so big that we're conservative. I mean, the people who counted are generally conservative. Last year, we settled on 4,000, and that was pretty much what the police said it was, 4,000. It was the official number of the government. I mean, we didn't say it was 8,000 or 6,000. 4,000 is a lot of people. And this year, I mean, our conservative estimate is about 15,000, 12 to 15.
The police and the media said 15,000. And on even though I never really climbed up high enough to see it, it went farther than you could see. So I'm sure there were at least.
Oh, we climbed up, and it was absolutely amazing. I mean, there were so many people. It was a sea of people with their
Broadway,
green foam tiaras.
There was only one. It went from the sidewalk totally from the buildings, from one building to the. Across Broadway, and there was one lane that they had blocked by police vehicles, and then there was all these people on the sidewalk on the other side.
And what about the targets? Let's talk about
the
fabulous targets.
Oh, wow. It was
the minute we saw the crowd, the first thing Paul and I said to each other was, who is the genius that came up with these targets?
I thought, what are these, some pot-smoking Serbians showed up?
That was actually the first thing he said. I had the genius comment.
Well, it also got split up, so there was another 4,000 people over in Washington Square Park that didn't get counted as part of that.
Well, I saw the video because I couldn't get into Washington Square Park with so many people, but Family Day had like 3 people or something.
Well, I heard Family Day got smoked out of the park, basically.
Pretty much. Just the people who hung out who were too lazy to walk were like 10 times more people than Family Day.
Yeah, it was a lot of people. And, you know, the interesting thing about this Family Day, you know, I actually realized that whole event is nothing but a counter-demonstration.
It's all by the city.
It was sponsored by the city.
Yeah.
To the exclusion of the event that's been happening there for 25 years. And, you know, we got there early this year, and lo and behold, the most amazing thing I've yet to see the New York police do, they actually had people out at the subway stations with flyers with misinformation,
directing people.
That was amazing.
Out of the phony
flyers.
So
talk
amazing.
About COINTELPRO. This was a classic lame-o COINTELPRO operation.
But
that,
try
of
to
course,
remember how artistic the...
First of all, they had a pot leaf with even number of leaves. And I tell you, whether you believe in God or not, there's no such thing as a pot leaf with even number of leaves.
Oh, it's not like clover where maybe...
They all have odd numbers of leaves. They all have 5, 7, or 9 leaves.
And you know that.
I thought it was a lucky leaf.
There is no such thing as a marijuana leaf with an even number of leaves. There's
not
no
to
such
mention
thing.
It was poorly pretty poorly drawn.
I mean, a stupid six-leaf marijuana plant that looks like a...
did not scan a leaf.
It looks like a Canadian maple leaf.
I'm sorry. They just did not hold a candle to the targets, which really did have some good impact.
And there. Then they... it was pretty funny. I know. And it was totally ridiculous, and they stuck it up. And it, what did it say? It said, go immediately.
Take a train. Get on the train.
Take the train. No march.
No march. Right.
They were probably the ones spreading the rumor about the helicopter that was supposed to fly over down at Battery Park and drop a ton of pot on the crowd
next year.
Somebody was spreading that rumor to everybody.
All these people
are going down there. Where's the helicopter?
Still hoping.
Next year. And the targets, though, coming back to the targets, they were targets, just like they're wearing in Serbia on the bridges
in
Belgrade, only in the bullseye was a green marijuana leaf. And people.
And everyone
had
them.
How many did you make of those?
We made 1,000 of them. And they were gone in like 20 minutes. We should have made 10,000.
So much impact when we got there because everyone was wearing them. They had them on their chests, on their backs, they had them on their backpacks.
It was amazing.
People were holding them up in the air.
It was fun.
It was wonderful to see that kind of thing.
Great visual.
And Officer Codiglia, what is he, sergeant
or inspector?
A lot
of symbolism too.
Inspector Codiglia looks like a white shirt's usually an inspector, right?
I saw him. Oh God,
Codiglia, he's at everything.
He's the one with the bullhorn.
He loves to
wade into protests with that damn bullhorn.
I got
up to
tape
his mouth.
Of him. I played it on the news. Anybody who's listened to BI News in the years when I was there, you know they could hear tons of Codiglia, man. Codiglia was like a featured player.
He's a screamer.
Somebody put some flowers in his bullhorn today down at City Hall. It really pissed him off. He really got mad
furious.
About that.
Oh, I love
somebody
that.
Somebody was interviewing him on video we watched. He's going, well, I'm against all drugs, whether they be alcohol or pot or anything. People should get high on life. As like pot smoke's like blowing in his face and stuff.
Yeah, you could smell a lot of pot. There was a lot of civil disobedience going on at the Million
Well, the march,
march
was great
too.
Because they could only arrest like less than 100 people. I mean, last year, you have to realize, they've been arresting 500-600 people. I mean, I get 300 and something. I thought it was more than that. And to try and terrorize people, but there was just so many people. And I've been told that since the Diallo shooting, they're on stand down. I don't know, maybe listeners could like inform us what the deal is. But I've been informed they're on stand down as far as quality of life, that they're not having zero tolerance.
Oh, they're having one tolerance?
Yeah, like back to like...
What are they tolerating?
I don't know. I think 100 arrests are still a lot. You know, I was there and I saw somebody getting arrested for having a bullhorn. I mean, mind you, not even smoking a joint. So the police, I think, got really uncomfortable with the political nature of
this
rally.
Political.
This was not just the smoking.
Well,
like
you heard a cop. What did
that
cop say you heard today?
March ever,
you
know.
Overheard a
cop? Oh, I overheard a policeman at the Garden demo today go, God, there's one of these demonstrations every freaking day.
Well, he didn't say freaking.
And I said, well, the people are speaking, dude.
By the way, our number here is 212-209-2900, 212-209-2900.
Yeah, call us up if you've been at any of these things. We want to hear what you think, too.
And let's go back to Mexico. Tell us a little bit about your little sojourn south of the border.
Well, I've been staying down on a beach that's kind of like the Amsterdam of Mexico called Zipolite. It's real famous, more in Europe than in the U.S., and it's kind of like the free zone where the locals... have such a big pot business going on with the tourists that they don't want any police in the town. So they keep the police out of Zipolite.
Oh, police-free zone.
It's a police-free zone.
Wow.
It's just like a real little paradise where you don't have to wear clothes if you don't want to. You can sit around and smoke huge cigars on the beach all day long. And there's all these naked Europeans running around going crazy and throwing big parties.
You're revealing yourself.
Naked
twice in the same zone.
I know. What can I tell you?
Well, you've been having fun.
I am organizing the Totally Naked Millennium Rave on this beach. So I'm trying to promote it.
The Totally Naked Millennium Rave.
The Totally Naked Millennium Rave.
And when is that?
It's from December the 23rd until January 3rd. we're going to have a gigantic Christmas party to really get things going, but
naked nativity.
I think we're going to have the Virgin Mary there naked. And
I thought they already did that at the Limelight.
They may have, but they got probably arrested at the Limelight, as you probably already know. They're That's another Peter's club that's been targeted. They're trying to kick nightlife out of New York City now.
Right. Well, that's what's feeding a lot of these protests and stuff. But let's get serious for a minute. Now that we've discussed this, is, you know, the media today, I've been following the Louis Emmett trial, and we talk about the cops and police brutality and a lot on this show. And, I mean, they're saying some sick things. I have to say, that guy, Kornberg, I mean, you know, he's a lawyer.
Volpe's attorney.
If I was in trouble, as much trouble as Justin Volpe, I would definitely want Kornberg as my lawyer. But he's pretty sick what he's saying, because what they're trying to say now is that this injury that Louima had was a result of consensual anal
ruptured
sex.
Intestines.
It's the same thing they do to rape victims, defense attorneys. It's the she asked for it thing, you know.
Theory,
basically,
right.
It's a classic defense in these kind of rape. I mean, Louima was raped, and it's a classic rape defense to blame the victim. They asked for it,
and
basically.
I think it's even a calculated political strategy as well. I mean, certainly as a gay man, we've been watching the number of people getting off for murder, basically homosexual panic defense, which we could talk about, I'm sure.
Like the,
but
that
I think
trial is happening right now, and the Jenny
and Matthew
Jones,
Shepard we're talking about.
That, but also talking about the Jenny Jones case.
And Jenny Jones, another
that's
classic
happening right
case.
Now.
And that is a classic example. But I think back to the political strategy of what the lawyer Kornberg is doing, the defense attorney here. I mean, aside from that, it reeks of homophobia. Basically, I think it's a strategy to cut the black community off from Louima, because the black community is not particularly all-embracive, shall we say, of gay rights. And so if they're able to paint him as a gay man, or, you know, that somehow there was some consensual sex, I mean, this is completely conjecture.
Support, right?
You know, we were laughing earlier, they better go take a DNA sample from every cop on duty.
Well,
that
homophobia
night.
isn't just limited to the black community. I mean, you had a pretty negative example even at our event on Saturday.
Absolutely. I mean, I do want to get into that, because I think that homophobia extends to a lot of minority communities, and as a gay man, for me, it's the big struggle that we have ahead of us as a community is to bridge to other communities. Regrettably, we have a war going on with some of our black and brown and some of our brothers and sisters of other races, and as a gay man, as a gay white man, for me, I'm very aware that I'm often victimized for no other reason than I'm gay, just as they are victimized. And it's ridiculous that we should all be on the same side here. It's bothersome to me when I go to events like the Million Marijuana March, which fantastic diversity at that event, I must say.
It was
just
incredible.
Terrific. Families,
age,
people of every
gender,
color.
It was very national.
You had suburban white hippies and tough inner city kids from Bedford-Stuyvesant hanging out and partying and have a great time. And you know what? It was like a peace treaty was signed. It was amazing.
Except for gays. I have to go back to this.
Right.
Because
and this,
I
is
did,
a problem.
It,
this is
well,
the problem.
It is
here.
A problem because, you know, these people need to get with it. Don't diss us, Hip Hop Nation. We changed the laws in California on marijuana. That was gay girlfriends doing it for themselves out there. That was people like me who were looking out for their brothers and sisters with AIDS, working hard to change the law, getting people to register to vote. And I don't like it as a gay man, and albeit as a white gay man, to get dissed by Hip Hop Nation. I love Hip Hop Nation. They shouldn't diss us. And when I got up on the stage and said, I'm a gay man, to hear 2,000, 3,000 people boo me just because of who I am, it really made me think that New York needs to get a clue about what's important here. And who are we fighting? Or the enemy on the other side?
Let's also mention that the first people arrested in the series of civil disobedience arrests around the Diallo shooting were the gay and lesbian community. They were the first people to do it.
Unquestionably.
ACT UP was out there, and 18 members of ACT UP were arrested at the Bronx County Courthouse.
Right. They were the
because
very
police
first
brutality,
to do it.
As it is an issue
housing
for the black
works.
Community, has been a long issue in the gay community. Our two communities have shouldered this terrible plague of police brutality for decades and decades. It extends into the judicial system. We're talking about these trials going on. Of course, we know how the police treat us when we're arrested. They beat us up. They torture us, even kill us sometimes.
Withhold medicine from sick people.
Absolutely.
That happened in the Matthew Shepard
That's
demo
right.
here in New York.
Right. So
212-209-2900, Gilbert Baker, who's been speaking, John Penley, Loco Juan.
Gringo Loco.
I love that album. Who's that band?
Mono Chow.
Mono Chow. Yeah, Clandestino.
Clandestino.
Welcome to Tijuana. And Miss Joan Marie Musi, of course. I'm Paul DiRienzo. Our number 212-209-2900.
Call us up.
And
we want to talk to you.
On the radio.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
So from what I heard, they're basing the homosexual charge against Louima on foreign DNA found in his fecal matter left behind after being beaten up by the cops in his holding cell.
Now you're going to say exactly what Joni said earlier.
Oh, she said that?
Well, not on the radio, but to me earlier in a private conversation, exactly the point.
Oh, well, I didn't.
You
know
are about to raise, I think,
I was
that is now on the tip of all of our tongues.
So let him finish.
You said that on the radio, or just
no. We said it privately before we came on the air.
Yeah, that I heard. I heard that on one newscast. That's sort of unbelievably.
But the point being is that what does that imply?
That implies they're making it all up.
There's another thing it could imply too.
Pardon?
There's another thing it could imply.
There's
another thing it could imply. It could there might actually be DNA matter there from somebody else, and it could be something else that happened in that bathroom besides a stick.
Could it be either he was raped by the cops or the cops jerked off after they did that to
him?
And really, if I was the prosecution and they want to bring in this DNA, I'd want a sample from every cop on duty
That's right. Let's see whose DNA this is.
Thank you.
Be highly dangerous to bring that up if it was one of the cops who did it, because they could take DNA samples.
That's right. And they should.
From the cops. And I think it's so obvious that it can't be admitted as evidence because it could have easily been contaminated by any subversive party.
A la Mark Furman?
Yeah, a la me,
right. But it is admitted. They admitted it today in the paper. They put it in the paper, and it's there for everyone to see.
Well, I think verbally, but I'm not too sure that the evidence itself will not be challenged.
We have tomorrow. I think Louima is going on the stand tomorrow.
Anyway, it's really sort of tragic that we do have this kind of a justice system that gives everybody so many rights, then it ends up just with so many wrongs upon the people who get wronged anyway. So there's something sort of peculiar about it.
Double victimization.
You know, the process looks wonderful, but everybody who's supposed to suffer, according to the powers in place, end up suffering.
There you go. Thank you.
Right. Thanks for calling. Hello?
You're on the air.
Hello?
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 Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi. I went to the rally last Saturday, and it was way cool.
All right. The Million Marijuana March.
I was hanging out in the park, and I was directing people over to
Broadway,
and then I grabbed some flyers, and I was handing flyers out to, young people in their 30s.
It was really exhilarating, right?
I was directing them down Broadway. I'm not an organizer. I just grabbed some leaflets, and I just helped out.
That's
people
good.
Were just coming together and going down Broadway, and there were a lot of people.
There were so many people.
I thought maybe 100,000 people.
Wow.
It was huge.
I thought it was a really big rally.
It was big.
It was a gigantic.
I turn on the news that evening at 11 o'clock, and it's a total, there's no mention of the rally. I was really disappointed that none of the networks had covered it.
Got a little coverage. But not the coverage that you think it should get, considering.
New York One gave it some pretty good coverage.
Oh, it was a New York
One.
Yeah, New York One was all right.
I was talking about Eyewitness News. There
yeah.
Was no
yeah, they
it.
Did like 30. We were watching. They did like 30-second.
Really short. Yeah.
But it was a great rally, and I hope for better things next year.
Right on.
Bye.
All right. Thanks for calling.
By the way, there's a really good article in the Village Voice about the rally.
Go ahead, sir.
There's a really good article in the Village Voice that just came on the stands about the rally, and it also talks about stuff that went on in other parts of the country and at the same time in conjunction.
Don't forget it was the international.
That's right.
Maryland.
It was everywhere. Yeah, someplace in Texas, they said when the rally went by, all the prisoners were holding up signs saying, "We want weed," out the window of the jail.
I'm telling you, the prisoners lament. This is what they were chanting in Mexico at the Villa Hermosa jail when they revolted. We want weed.
That's right. We want weed. Right.
And when I heard it at the march, I said, my God, these are such politically aware people. They're screaming the slogan of the prisoners. I mean, last year it was, I smoke pot and I like it a lot. But this year it was, we want weed.
And very aggressively, We Want Weed.
That's right.
I must say that it was very political. The whole tone of the march, I felt, was extremely political. Focused on Giuliani, focused on the police, focused on, you know, our right and to smoke and to use the herb. And I was really excited.
It was interesting.
It was an exhilarating experience to be there.
Let's take another call. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hi there.
You're on the radio.
Right. Hi. All right. No, I was listening to your comment. When it comes to the gay gentleman there.
Gilbert Baker?
Yeah. Well, I didn't get the gay gentleman's name.
Yeah.
It was on your panel.
Yeah, Gilbert and John are here. Gilbert.
Right.
Yeah.
And he was making one of the same, I wouldn't say arguments, but he same comments that other people have already said. Well, you said, well, you know, the gay folks, they were there, and that's true that you were one of the first people to be arrested at the Diallo the rallies. Which
yeah,
was
that
really
was
nice
me
that,
that
you,
brought that,
that
up.
That you were there, and you know, people do appreciate you participating in the protest. And we do, though, and I'm aware of the whole Stonewall thing. I've been listening to B.I. since the early 70s, so I'm aware of what's been going on. But the thing is that, you know, I've been in I'm not sure what you call it. You call it discussion groups or seminar or what have you, where people discuss the difference between the gay community and black community. And you know, what I would say to that is that, okay, sure, we may both be fighting against persecution in the country or in cities, but the thing is, your movement in the African American movie is totally different. I mean, you're fighting for one sort of thing, and we're fighting for another. It's the same thing when people talk about the black community, and they lump in the Caribbean community. Well, we both might be black, but our interests are different, and we are not the same community.
You're not against each other.
Caribbean community are coming from a foreign place, and they just have a skin color, and their goals and aims aren't the same as ours. We're here, part of the country, and we have a definite stake in this country, and they can always go someplace else, and many of us wish they would. But, you know, we may have the same skin color, but we don't have the same goals and aims and aspirations.
Well, you know, that's interesting to me because, you know, I'm kind of, I'm truthfully kind of getting over identity politics. I'm too through with it. You know, as I said, the creator of the rainbow flag, I'm really going back to my roots now in the 70s. And it was all about love, about a pansexuality, about a message of love. And the identity politics, granted the gay community, I hate to say I could just dish for days on the identity politics going on inside the gay community. And I'm sure that's true of every community, but I think that as the millennium approaches, I think that the quest for a lot of us now is to seek this new thing. We're sick of it. We're tired of it. We're locked in these ghettos. We're fighting each other.